broadcast temporarily over analog radio at 103.3 FM. For more information, call 262-564-3030.
You're listening to Technology Matters, a show for the casual computer and gadget user that airs the second Saturday of every month. It's hosted by Gateway IT instructor Christine Lazzaro.
Good morning, everyone. So today's show is somewhat eclectic in that there's a number of different subtopics, if you will, that aren't really that connected. But, you know, they're little blurbs that showed up in my technology news feed. So anyway, here goes. The first thing that I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of a, strange thing, maybe if you kind of think about it, there was an article, a college student, I think it was, prepared it. And Bill Gates in 1999 wrote a book called Business at the Speed of Thought. And I have to admit, I never read it, but maybe I should. But in that book, written in 1999, he made a number of predictions. And so this little article that's been appearing lately talked about 15 of those predictions. Things like price comparison sites, which we know we have now. There's Price Watch and a couple of others. Digital personal assistants, which we, see with Amazon Echo, Google Home, all of those different devices, wearable mobile devices, everything from the Fitbit to, watches that link to your smartphone so you can make calls, healthcare, financial tasks online, online banking, bill pay, and now there's even some online doctor sites, where you can get medical advice, not like WebMD, but actual sites that you go to and you can actually talk to a doctor online. Therapists have been doing this for quite some time now. Online home monitoring, and we know we've got, Wi-Fi enabled cameras, etc. The thing that struck me when I was reading the article is it seems very commonplace now. When you read about these different predictions, you're thinking like, duh, what's so big about that? But if we could go back in time, mindset-wise, back to 1999, think about where the state of technology was, there, and, especially because these are all, not all of them, but a lot of the predictions are based on online, web-based types of things. If we could go back to 1999 and look at the state of things there with the internet and technology, then, when we were reading these predictions, we would probably be not so much doubtful, but a little bit more in, okay, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. It's only 17, 18 years later, but it just emphasizes how much technology changes or how fast technology changes. And then also at the same time, how accepting we get with these changes. Anybody that was, that's my age, a little bit younger, we can think back to when we were teenagers and, I always talking to my students about this kind of thing. We didn't get color TV in our house until actually I had moved away from home. So 18, 19 years old, but kids today, you look at what they're growing up with, TV and, big high-def TV screens and, all that. So it's just, the older you get, it gets more remarkable, the changes and things. And, the kids today, when they're our age or, when they're my age, I should say, because I don't know how old you all are. But, when they get to be in their, 50s, they can sit there and tell their kids and grandkids, yeah, I remember when I was a kid, we didn't have all of this fancy stuff. So, life changes, right? Anyway, I thought it was kind of a fun little thing to think about because, many people will sit there and say, well, yeah, duh, but look at how, foreseeing Bill Gates was back then. So, next thing, got a couple of little things about Amazon. And sometimes, you know, I feel like, you know, I feel like some of the listeners might think, oh, she's just a shill for Amazon. And it's not true. I mean, number one, I don't receive anything from Amazon. I don't get anything free. You know, I pay for everything that I talk about. I just bought into the Amazon sphere, you know, the Amazon world. And maybe one of these days I'll have to, you know, buy a Google Home just so I can, you know, do a fair comparison of the differences between them. But right now I'm, you know, still fleshing out all of that. I don't know if anybody listened to my show in May when I talked about the Echo Show and all of the features that the Echo Show is going to have, you know, and one of the big ones that I talked about was this concept of drop-in, you know, this video conferencing thing with a drop-in where if two people had an Echo Show and you could just kind of drop in on the person, meaning unlike, you know, some of the video conferencing types of apps that are out there, like, you know, WhatsApp and FaceTime and all that. You have to dial up a person. With the Echo Show, you don't have to. You just, you know, simply say, you know, drop in on grandma or whatever it is. And at the time, because the Echo Show hadn't been released, I did express a little bit of concern that, you know, I don't know if this would be necessarily all that comfortable that all of a sudden somebody's right there, you know, watching you. Well, since that time, you know, the Echo Show has been, you know, released, and I will admit that I did buy two, because at the time Amazon was running a special, and if you bought two, the second one was $100 off. Not sure if I'm going to keep both of them. I just was interested in this concept of drop-in because at the time I mentioned that you could use it as an intercom system in your house, and at that time, the Echo and the Echo Dot did not have that capability. But I also said that don't be surprised if the Echo and the Echo Dot do get that capability, but I think Amazon is not going to, you know, enable that on Echo devices until after the Echo Show is released. Well, sure enough, you know, I bought my Echo Shows. I think I placed the order on Thursday. And anybody that's got an Echo knows that you get in your email, you know, what's new with, you know, Echo. I'm not saying her name, you know, because I don't want any of them to go off right now. But anyway, so Saturday, I check my emails, and sure enough, here's an email that says that the Echo and the Echo Dot now have drop-in. You know, it's like, you know, geez, you couldn't have, you know, said that before I bought the shows, you know. Anyway, so yes, your Echo and your Echo Dot now have drop-in. You do have to enable, first you have to enable the calling and messaging skill, and you need to have distinct names for your Echo devices, and then enable drop-in on those devices. And I did test it. I used my living room and, you know, said, she that won't be named, drop in on living room, and I could hear in the living room, you know, the response, and so it does work. The drop-in feature on the Echo Show, just to clarify, you know, now that it's out and people have been able to experience it a little bit, when you drop in on somebody, it's, number one, the person has to enable drop-in, number one, that's the first thing. So if you don't want people dropping in on you, then you don't enable drop-in. If you have drop-in enabled, what happens is when one person drops in on another, the person who is dropping in, they see a fuzzy picture. So, you know, if you're running around, you know, in an unpresentable appearance, the person doesn't see you clearly. It's kind of a pixelated image. And if you're the drop-in-e, if you're the person being dropped in on, you can accept the drop-in, and at that point, if you accept the drop-in, then the image clears up and the person dropping in on you sees you, you can accept voice only, and so then there's no image. The screen on the person dropping in is kind of black, but you can hear voices, or you can just plain decline the drop-in. So it's not as intrusive as we might have thought. A couple of things about the Echo Show. The camera, the video camera, is basically live. When you walk into the room, then the screen is initially kind of dark, but as soon as the camera sees you, then it wakes up. There is a button on the top that you can turn off both the camera and the microphone. So, so privacy concerns, you know, if you want to turn those off. I haven't really played with my show much yet. There's been some complaints because there's these little marquee things, if you will, about things to try or, you know, products that get pushed, and you can turn off some of it, but the things to try will continue to, you know, flash. What I do like about it so far, and it's sitting on my desk, and it's not, you know, it's not really all that intrusive or anything. It just kind of sits there. But I do like that it shows constantly the time and the weather in the upper left-hand corner. So it's kind of nice if I need to know what time it is, I can just kind of glance at it. Or if I want to know what the temperature is or, you know, what the weather's like, you know, yeah, okay, I can, you know, look out the window or, you know, a million in other ways. But, you know, it's kind of nice. You can also set it to flash news, little news ticker kinds of things. I haven't done that yet. And like I said, I haven't had the opportunity to play with it completely to find out all of the different things, especially the, you know, video conferencing and the drop-in and all that. But, you know, so far, hey, it's there. And as I do play with it and discover more things, I'll let you guys know whether or not it's, you know, worth the money. I think the biggest thing is, you know, when deciding whether or not to actually buy one, because they are a little pricey, is really if you do have somebody that you want a video conference with, or you want to use it for that baby monitoring type of, you know, thing, you know, that's kind of nice for it. I do like the hands-freeness of it, and that's what I was saying. Yeah, we can use our smartphones to, you know, do FaceTime or WhatsApp, you know, but the fact that it's, you know, hands-free, and I don't have to be holding this phone to do all of that kind of thing, that's my big thing. So, and as I said, you know, as I play with it and discover more things, I'll let you know whether, yeah, it's worth it or not. Okay. The other Amazon thing, Amazon Prime Day, been running commercials, etc. So July 11th, it actually starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on June 10th, and it'll run for 30 hours. You do have to be a Prime member, but you can sign up for a 30-day trial Prime membership. And if you do the free trial, you can participate in Prime Day. And this is the third one. I will, you know, be upfront, and I will say I've never really shopped on Prime Day, mainly because I don't think about it. But I am going to this time around, because there is a certain something that I really, really want. I really want a Nest thermostat, so I want to see if they're on sale for Prime Day. They actually were on sale the other day, and I almost bought one, but I thought, you know what, I'll just wait for Prime Day and see what happens. Anyway, these are some predictions of some of the things that you might see for sale on Prime Day. These are not necessarily mine, but I kind of do agree with them. And these are extrapolated, if you will, from what Amazon had done in the past during, like, you know, Black Friday or Cyber Monday types of things. And kind of also falls in line with, you know, the Echo Show and all of that. So expect the, I don't know if there's going to be any real specials on the Echo Show other than the one right now where, you know, if you buy two, the second one is $100 off, and maybe you know, if you just buy one, you know, and it also depends on what, you know, sales are like, you know, to disperse some interest, you might see the Echo Show on sale, but definitely I think we'll see the Echo and the Echo Dot savings on that. Expect about a $50 savings on the Echo and $10 on the Dot. The Fire tablets, there's a new Fire 7 tablet that, you know, expect to see it around, you know, $33, $35. And there's a new Fire HD tablet, you know, expect to see that for about $50. And for, you know, tablets, you know, that's actually a pretty decent, you know, decent deal. Again, you know, they're running Amazon's version of Android, and it is a little bit crippled in that it takes some working around to get things off of the Android store, the Google Play store, and Amazon has not released every single Android app, has not made it Amazon compatible. But the nice thing about that, and you can do this with any Android or iOS device, and it goes kind of with that drop-in sort of thing. If you have the app for to work your Echo devices, then you can drop in on somebody that's got that app, so they don't have to have an Echo device as long as they've got the She Who Will Not Be Named app installed on their smartphone. I know that sounds so silly, doesn't it? Anyway, so, you know, so take a look on Prime Day. And as I said, you can sign up for their the 30-day trial membership. Just remember, if you don't think it's worth it, if you don't have Prime right now, you might want to cancel it after that 30 days. Otherwise, it will charge you. So, next story. And this is kind of an interesting one, and for some of you, it may not make any difference in the world, but I thought it was kind of interesting. There's a website called PhotoBucket, and PhotoBucket is used by many people to people upload their photos onto PhotoBucket, and where it comes into play is that people who have websites or pages, especially on Amazon and eBay. Amazon is a, I guess you could call it a third-party reseller, just kind of like eBay. Amazon does sell their own stuff. And if you've ever bought from Amazon and searched their, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages and products and all of that, sometimes Amazon fulfills whatever you purchase, and sometimes it comes from somebody else, and sometimes, you know, the product is sold by somebody but fulfilled by Amazon. Sometimes it's sold directly by Amazon, all kinds of different ways. So people that sell through Amazon and eBay and make their living, you know, with this, you know, and it's not just necessarily crafters, it's, you know, people that buy from Alibaba and all those different places and then sell this stuff. Rather than posting, uploading their pictures of their products to the individual sites, to Amazon or to eBay, especially if they sell them a multitude of sites and even have their own site, they would use PhotoBucket to host the pictures and then just link to those pictures. So it's called third-party hosting. So PhotoBucket hosts the pictures of their products, and then the person creates their site on eBay and then just links to a picture of their product. Well, PhotoBucket has now changed their terms of service, and they're going to charge $400 a year to host pictures. So, you know, the reason is anything that you put online is a file, and it's got to be, you know, on the computer that's hosting that particular site. So the beauty of having PhotoBucket host the pictures and then being able to link on them is they can be used on multiple sites, but they're just stored in the one place. Where people got really primarily upset over this change in the terms of service is PhotoBucket, according to these people, PhotoBucket kind of hid this new change. They did send everybody an email saying there's been a change in the terms of service. But unless you clicked on the link to actually go and read the change of service, you didn't see that. Now, you can blame the individual people who were using PhotoBucket. Here, you got this email. If you didn't bother to go look at the changes in the terms of service, then that's on you, right? But all of a sudden, you know, there wasn't a you know, okay, so the terms of service are going to change as of this date. All of a sudden, people started finding that the images of their products were no longer showing on Amazon, eBay, etc. And I saw this for myself because I don't shop on eBay, but every once in a while I don't buy anything from eBay, not for any reason except that I just never have. But every once in a while I am looking for something and somebody happens to be selling something like that on eBay. So I was doing that the other day, and I was looking at these different things, and there was no image. I thought, well, that's kind of a strange thing. Well, here to come find out, it was because of this change of service in PhotoBucket, and if the person didn't pay the $400 a year to host the pictures, then they weren't showing. And the other problem with all of this was that some of these people who used PhotoBucket to host their pictures, keep in mind that PhotoBucket, the pictures are on PhotoBucket. You don't pay $400 a year, your pictures are effectively gone, which I also found kind of silly. Why wouldn't you keep a backup locally of all of those pictures of images? Why would you just upload them to PhotoBucket and trust that they would always be there? You know, that to me is very, very silly. Anybody that uses, you know, cloud storage, you know, it's great and it's wonderful, but you should always have a backup of whatever those things are, you know, especially if they're important, because you just never know when that's going to disappear for whatever reason. You know, the cloud storage, you know, site goes out of business, or, you know, crashes, or, you know, gets virus infection or whatever. You always want to have, you know, your own physical backup that you have of that. So anyway, lessons learned, right? All right. This is another one, and it's kind of, the reason I'm mentioning it is it's more along the lines of, you know, here's a clickbait thing. Again, it showed up in my technology news feed, and then when I started researching it, because just because it shows up in the news feed doesn't mean that I take it for, you know, for what it's worth. I, you know, actually go and, you know, do a little research on it if I'm going to use it on the show. So this showed up as a headline in my technology news feed. And come to find out it's been around for a while, and but it did, you know, so it's a twofold story. It's about clickbait. There was another one that was interesting. Katy Perry is moving to Kenosha. I saw that someplace, and come to find out that's not happening, and that one's been around for a while. Katy Perry's been rumored to move to Nashville, to, you know, Kenosha, little small towns, more not big towns, you know, but anyway. Clickbait. But this particular story, it was Netflix. You can now download for viewing later. And the actual story, the original story I saw, stated that it was only for mobile devices running iOS or Android. But I did go to the Netflix site itself, and it did state that it can also be done on Windows 10. And I'm thinking maybe tablets only. But how do they tell the difference between a computer and a tablet? So come to find out, this has been around for quite a while with respect to Netflix. And I think maybe the story got a little confused because even though this was a recent story, Hulu also announced back in January of this year that they're going to be rolling this out as well, to where Netflix subscribers, Hulu subscribers, and the purpose of this, or the beauty of this, I guess, if you're going to look at it, is you can now download, and only certain shows and movies, because the original owner of that particular movie or show, you know, the producer, studios, etc., have to say, yeah, this is okay. For example, when Netflix rolled this out, come to find out you couldn't do it with Disney movies. Disney Studios wouldn't allow it. But it's nice because if you're flying or being away from internet for a while, you can download a whole bunch of stuff and then you have something to watch later on. But it is limited to certain shows, and Hulu is rolling this out. Now, Amazon has been doing this for quite a while already, and so I've never done it, you know, because I don't know. Every once in a while, I binge watch something on Amazon or Netflix, but I don't watch on my, you know, mobile device, you know, offline, so to speak. So I've never downloaded for watching later, but it's there, you know, if you're in it. And if you're a frequent flyer or a frequent traveler, or you go up north where there's no Wi-Fi, you do this already, I'm sure. Hulu's is only going to be available for iOS and Android devices. Theirs did not mention Windows 10. As I said, the Netflix site did say that there is support for Windows 10 as well. So last little story. This one falls into the category of an old dog can learn new tricks, and this, I'm the old dog. And this was an interesting thing. People, you know, when come to find out after researching it a bit, it's been out there since USB 3.0 came out, but, you know, it's like, why didn't I know this? So anyway, I have a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse, and anybody that has wireless keyboard, wireless mouse, and mine is from Logitech, and so it uses the you know, the little dongle, the USB 2.0 dongle that, you know, is works with multiple devices, so you don't have to have a separate dongle for a mouse and a separate dongle for the keyboard, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Well, anyway, so I've been using this for, you know, many, many, many years. I like wireless because I, when it comes to those things, I don't like all of those little cables running around. Well, I also have a USB 3.0 flash drive. Plugged my USB 3.0 flash drive in, and you know, and then all of a sudden my mouse is acting goofy and everything. And yes, it dawned on me that it was the flash drive that was causing the issues. But as I was researching it, come to find out, USB 3.0, when it, there can be radio interference with the Bluetooth, because the USB 3.0, in order to get the speed that it does, it uses radio frequencies in order to be able to support that, and that can interfere with the 2.0, because it works, that radio frequency works in the 2.4, 2.5 gigahertz range, and Bluetooth works in that 2.4 gigahertz frequency. So again, old dog, new trick. If you use a wireless mouse, a wireless USB mouse, or wireless USB keyboard, and you plug in a USB 3.0 flash drive, and all of a sudden your mouse starts acting goofy, well, that's the reason why. So what can you do to fix that? Well, separate them. If it's on a desktop computer, plug the wireless mouse Bluetooth dongle in the back, and, you know, kind of separate them. You can get a USB 2.0 extender cable, and that's what I did. I just happened to have one in my drawer of cables, so I took my dongle out, plugged it in, and I just, you know, yep, everything works fine now. I can plug USB 3.0 flash drives in all day long, and nothing interferes. If it's on a laptop, and you happen to be fortunate enough to have the USB 2.0 on one side of the laptop and the USB 3.0 on the other side, you know, that there's a separation there. And computer manufacturers have started, you know, recognizing this, or they recognized it back then. And some of them are shielding within the laptop the USB 2.0 and 3.0. So there is an interference. But if you encounter it, especially if you buy a new computer, and that happens, now you know why. So that's the show for today. Like I said, pretty eclectic, different topics, you know, but it was, you know, just things that I found interesting for this month. So everybody have a wonderful rest of the weekend and a great month, and we'll see you in August. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Technology Matters with hosts Christine Lazaro